celebrate them. Thank God for all of you. This is a trying week, kind of, sort of. No, you can turn it off. It's fine. I don't think I need it. Let's look at some scriptures tonight for everyone who's here. And let's pretend tonight. And let's not pretend because we don't have to. I want everybody in here for a moment, I want you to think in your mind of someone think of someone tonight who is in desperate need of the Lord. Desperate need. All the people in Maui, whether they have God or not, I'm sure some of them probably do, I hope so. People who are in desperate need tonight. And then when you think of someone who's in desperate need, then I want you to think of yourself as being someone who God sent to deliver them. And then if you're going to be someone that God sends to deliver someone who's in desperate need, one thing that you're going to have to do is, if God's going to send me to someone who's in desperate need, then I really have to have strong faith in God.
Yes.
I've got to have really strong faith in God if He's going to send me. He can't send me to do anything for someone who's in desperate need if my faith is not strong in God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need sending me to tell somebody about God if I don't believe in God myself.
Yes.
Because if they are in desperate need, then what do I already know? I can't deliver them.
Yes.
But I'm going because I know someone who can deliver them. That's what I've really got to know. I got to know. It's like God told Zechariah. I love the Old Testament. You know, everybody who doesn't read the Old Testament, you know, you just don't know what you're missing. God told in Zechariah, He told Zechariah, and he said it to all the prophets, but Zechariah, I like the way he said it. He said, it won't be by your power or by your might, but by my spirit. What I need done, he says, you can go and don't worry about, and if I can expand and nobody and everybody will forgive me, don't worry about the limitations of your power and the limitations of your might, because what I'm going to do is not by your power or your might. It's by my spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whose power is what? Infinite. Unlimited. Without end. And so I have to have the mindset. All of us have to have the mindset as we think of someone who's in desperate need. We're praying for Elder Paulette's dad, and I haven't heard anything from that. He's in a desperate situation. He's desperate for life on earth. He's desperate for eternal life.
Yes.
And you want him to have life on earth so that he can make sure he has eternal life.
Amen. Yes.
Desperate situation. At the time of people like to use the word now, they like to say it's your transition. I can live with that. At the time that you're going to meet Jesus at the end of this particular life, and make no mistake about it, this life, this physical life that you're in right now is a temporary life.
Mm-hmm.
the Bible uses the word of Corinthians temporal, which means it isn't, you cannot live forever in this state.
Yes.
It's not possible for you to live forever in this state.
Yes.
Because the power of the corrosive and corrupting power of sin that entered Adam in the garden corrupted this body and brought death to it and decay, so that you cannot live forever in this state. You must make up your mind about that.
Yes.
You must make up your mind about that. That being said, you have to make up your mind that though my spirit and my soul are eternal, my spirit and my soul are immortal now. My spirit and my soul are immortal now. The corruption that came to us came into this mortal body, but my spirit and my soul are immortal now.
Yes.
They're not going to die. Matter of fact, demons are the disembodied spirits of the pre-Adamite man that lived, and it's the reason why they like to use you, because they don't have a body to use.
That's it.
No, it's a core, they don't. They don't have a body to use. That's what demons are.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, and that's when people, and not to, I used to say I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, but the truth of it is I love busting your bubble when it's wrong. You know, so when people say that they've seen this dead person, that dead person, whomever they may be, those are disembodied spirits taking advantage of you. Because two things we know about people who are no longer in the earth. If they're in hell, they're not allowed to return. And if they're in heaven, they don't want to return.
Return, that's right.
It's that simple. Hell does not have a revolving door where people can come in and go out. And the demons that roam the earth these days have never been locked into hell at this point. They don't. We say they come out of hell. We use all those terms, but they really don't come out of hell, because once you're there, you are. Yeah.
Right.
Except God lets you free. He is going to set the devil free after a million years, after a thousand years. But God is the turnkey, not Satan. And Satan is not in charge of hell. That's what Milton said. But Milton is not God. God is the one who designed hell for the angels that fell, and God is escape proof. He is in all his ways.
Yes.
He is escape proof.
Yes.
You don't find there's no loophole, no chink in God's armor that you can exploit. Once he puts you somewhere, that's where you are until he decides to put you someplace else. So we have these immortal spirit and souls, and the soul of us, the spirit of us, is disconnected from God when sin comes in, and that's why we are spiritually dead or spiritually separated from God. When sin so corrupts, it doesn't allow us to touch the spirit of God, so that when the Lord comes in, when he says in you have he brought to life, or you have he quickened, where you are already breathing spirit physically, and you are already cognizant. What he brings to life is your spirit. He gives new life to your spirit. He quickens or brings to life, they use the word quicken, which means to give life to your spirit, so that your spirit becomes aware and alive and connected to God. And the Holy Spirit, who is from God, he comes in and he dwells in us. He dwells in us. And here again, it is to our dishonor and to our disgrace that we'll sit up and watch movies like The Exorcist and all those, and we can be afraid that demon spirits are going to come and inhabit you, and you don't believe that the Holy Ghost will come and inhabit you. You don't seem to have a problem believing that people can be overtaken by a demon. Then you ought not have any problem asking the Holy Spirit to come in. And you shouldn't be afraid to ask him to come in. And you should desire him to not only come in, but you should desire that he would remain.
Yes.
That he would dwell in you. Don't you know when the Holy Ghost dwells in you, you don't ever have to worry about being overtaken by any other spirit. That's why the devil fights so hard to get him to leave. Get you, put him out, should I say. He won't just leave you. You end up running him off. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Everybody still with me? Lost anybody yet? Y'all lost yet? So let me recap. This body is corrupted. It's going to die. It is dying every day. Marianne Waters one time did a sermon in Arkansas. She's a bioengineer or something like that. Super. And she was talking about even scientists, scientifically, there's a syndrome called, what's it called? Cell death. I can't remember how she said it, but anyway, scientifically, our bodies are dying.
Yes.
Okay? I can't remember the term now, but anyway, it was very interesting to me because it fit everything in God. So then, if you know someone, and we all know someone, let me get back to where I was, who has a desperate need for something to happen in their life beyond what they're able to do.
Yes.
Now, the truth is, we all do.
Yes.
We all do. We just, even on a good day, you have a desperate need for God.
Yes.
You just don't acknowledge it.
Yes.
We all do. We always need God. You don't always, you know, because of our arrogance and because we have been corrupted so much by sin, we don't always acknowledge it. But we always, yes, and a desperate one, because evil is all around us. Evil is all, and for the people who don't have God, they give an opportunity for the evil to manifest itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Because God doesn't keep them. Like the big story in the news right now is the 18-year-old girl who's been shot down in Home Depot by the boyfriend and the mom. What kind of mother are you?
Yeah.
How evil is that?
Evil.
That race right up there with Athaliah and Jezebel.
Yes.
You know, Athaliah was the only queen of Israel ever for a short period of time. Josiah's, well, you have to go read yourself. Athaliah was an evil queen. Josiah became godly because when he was born, she killed off all the other brothers and all the rest of them. She was the sister. She killed off all the rest of them. And Josiah had a governor, a person who kept him, and he hid him away in the castle someplace until the palace someplace until he. And taught him the way of God until God could get around to getting him old enough to be able to sit on the throne. See, I told y'all the Old Testament is interesting. You ought to go read it. Anyway, that's about as evil as it gets. So when you see all the shootings and the things, it isn't, and the things that are going on, you're seeing the sinful nature that came by way of sin in the garden being manifested.
Yes.
In the things that are going on.
Yes.
And you don't want to be a victim of it. So you want the Lord to keep you and to watch over you and sustain you. And you could very well be a victim of it if it were not for the grace and the mercy of God. Never think that you're kept by your own power. You are not. If they say, well, what about all the sinners? Everybody who breathes is at the mercy of God. If Satan had his way about it. That's the one thing that I want everybody here to always understand. The devil hates God ultimately, and next to God, he hates absolutely you.
Yes.
Because we are God's highest creation.
Yes.
And we know this to be true, that God expects us to rule over everything other than himself. And Satan absolutely hates that on so many different levels. The envy and the jealousy is just paramount. And he would love nothing more than to stop God's plan for repopulating the universe and the earth with God's creatures that will serve him of their own free will. So Satan desires to stop you.
Yes.
And he loves nothing about you. He's not funny. He's not There's a show on television. I've never watched it. I would not. It's more heinous than it seems. People think it's comedy. It's called Good Omens. Some series supposed to be the devil and an angel or somebody. But I don't watch it. I don't watch stuff like that because the devil isn't funny.
No.
He's not a laughing matter. He will kill you.
Yes.
He will kill you if God doesn't stop him.
Yes.
He goes to and fro, in and out through the earth, yes, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom,
yes,
he may destroy.
Yes.
He's a lost cause, and he wants you to be too. So then, for all of us, and we're studying like on Sundays when we're looking at the woman caught in adultery, and we're looking at the situation and to her benefit, and we're looking at the desperate situation she's in because she's woefully outnumbered. And she's in a desperate situation, as the disciples are when they're out in the middle of the lake and the storm comes up. Desperate situations, and I'm going to talk about one tonight in Acts. I want us to look at Luke, the fourth chapter. And the reason why I want us to look at this is because I want us to be able to tell people when they're in desperate situations, it's God they need.
Yes.
But, everybody, now I'm going to do this. Everybody say but.
But.
You need to have the faith in God to know that it is God you need in a desperate situation. Before you can tell me how God will bring me out, you must believe it yourself.
Yes, that's right.
You must not only have heard about it, you must know it to be true.
Yes.
That's why I spend so much time trying to convince you to see in the earth how much you need God. This is not a game. You really, 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 can I add another really to that?
Yeah.
Really need God.
God. Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
You do. There's not a moment in your life where you want to be running on auto.
That's true.
You want God. Yeah. You want Him every moment you're awake. You want Him certainly every moment while you're asleep.
Yeah.
You need God to watch over you and keep you. In Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus says something to them. And Luke chapter 4. Mm-hmm. And after Jesus has gone in Luke chapter 4, and he's been in the wilderness of the Jordan, and the devil, and he's being 40 days tempted of the devil, and he passed the test. Because each time that the devil will come to him, he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He lets him know that it isn't when the devil tries to get him to make bread because he's hungry, which is a physical attribute. He lets the devil know that there's more to me being sustained than just this body.
Yes.
There's so much more. To us being in relative safety tonight and being able to walk and to see and to breathe and to be in liberty, and none of our children have been carried away by slave traders, and none of them have been shot by a stray bullet. Had a young man, had a 6-year-old yesterday in Pensacola, shot 3 times in his bedroom.
Yes.
By stray bullets. And by the grace of God, he's alive.
Amen. Yes.
In his bedroom. Not in the street, not someplace he has no business being.
Right.
And the man, even they were interviewing the man on the street says, he says, I really don't understand it. He says, this is supposed to be a quiet neighborhood.
Yes.
The devil is running rampant from principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
If you really want to know what the political landscape is for the last couple of years, what they have really done, it's like, if you remember correctly, who were the culprits in Jesus being crucified, according to Peter? Pilate and Herod. The Romans and the Jews. Both sides. You know what they did? They said that they did the devil's wishes.
Yes, they did.
You know what? You know what politicians are doing right now? They're setting the devil free.
Yes.
It's not Christ they're setting free. Who are becoming allies? The evangelicals and the politicians. It's a deadly combination. So then you really need God. Because you can't count on anybody on earth other than people who are in God. You're gonna have to learn to depend on God.
That's right.
So Jesus lets the devil know. He says, man does not live by bread alone. It's not just feeding myself and providing for myself and having a job for myself and a career for myself. I can have a job. I can have a career. I can have education. I can have food. I can have a house. I can have everything going for me. And yet what I really need to sustain me is God. I can't be sustained only by what can be provided for me physically. I still need God. I can.
Right.
The devil can destroy me if I'm rich. He can destroy me if I'm dirt poor. He can destroy me if I'm in the absolute best of health. Had an ex-football player get killed, yesterday? Motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
29 years old.
Yeah.
He can, we've had at least two teenagers this year in Alabama drop dead on the athletic field.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what I really need, and Jesus let the devil know, you know, I'm not going to fall for you just because you're going to offer me something to make me feel good for the moment. I really need to be sustained by God.
Yeah.
We need to know that. We need to know it so much that when we run into somebody who's in a
desperate situation,
we can say to them, really, who you need to sustain you is
God.
I'm going to carry your situation to God. Because many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is able to deliver them from them all, not me. I'm going to do this. So Jesus, after he spent this time and has overcome the trials and temptations of the devil, which he tempted him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Don't you want to be ruler over everything? And I watch people who want to be in control. Watch people who like to rule and who love titles. Don't you want to be, watch them, pride of life. Watch people who are greedy for money. Watch out for them. After he has told Jesus, you know, watch people who are selfish, take care of yourself, lust of the flesh. And Jesus tells him, leave me. Sometimes you need to tell that when the devil's fighting you about something in God, you need to tell him, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Leave me. Leave me alone. I must have, if you could have heard me, Tekoa, sometimes when I ride down the street and the devil's really fighting me, I've had times when the devil would fight me and finally the Spirit of God would rise up in me, and if you could hear me, it would sound like I was a screaming banshee, and I just yelled, leave me alone!
Yeah.
And I mean it.
Yes.
And it breaks the yoke. You need to be able to tell the devil sometimes. That's what,
Satan, please, Satan, please.
No, you need to say, no! I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the devil tempt you to do something and you just spoke up and said, no! I am not doing that. Not doing that. And Jesus tells the devil, no! I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Leave me.
Yes.
Stop bothering me.
Yep.
He has to do. And when he is, when he's done that, then he can go do something else. He says in verse number 8, get thee behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get away from me. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so down to 18, he comes down, and now we get down to this desperate situation. And there are some situations that are desperate, and God intends to be there. For example, when Abraham is told by God to offer up Isaac, it is a desperate situation for the Lord to show Abraham how he's going to raise him up again. And then there are some situations like when Israel is between the Red Sea and between Egypt, and they really have no way out. I remember when Elder Russell had an aneurysm, and it was so bad, Elder Sturgis, that we were on our way back from missions, and Elder Russell had, you can come over here and sit down. Okay, go ahead. And Elder Russell had, not Russell in Montgomery, but Elder Eric Russell, he had a major aneurysm, which he needed a miracle to survive, and he did. And I was on my way back, and I was in Kentucky when I got the phone call. We were coming back from missions. They were in Nashville. And his wife called and said, please pray for Eric. And he, L. Eric, he's about 12 years younger than me. He's a youth coordinator. And I thought to myself, my Lord, can't you call one of the other bishops? I didn't say that, but that's the way I felt. My, you know, why am I, how do I happen to be the only person who, the only bishop who's only 60 miles away? Can't you call a presiding bishop? He's in Ohio. Bishop Lucky, that's what came to my mind. He's in Pennsylvania. Bishop Lee, he's in Germany. And I thought, so Crystal said, and I said, well, I'll be there in the morning. And I figured by morning, so I don't know what will happen by morning, but I just couldn't go at the moment. And the next morning, as soon as I woke up, first call I get, 6 in the morning, are you on your way? He's really going through that. They say it's critical. They're not sure whatever. So me and Paula got dressed and went down there, and I came in the hotel and thinking to myself, you know, everybody's always talking about all these bishops who have all this power and everything else. And when they look at me, I'm like Gideon. Nobody expects me to be able to do anything in God, even get a prayer through. Why me? You know, and I said, no, but if I pray for him and he dies, then my name really will be brother. You know, I'm honest. But I'm the only one here. And so I went down, and I just did what the Lord told me to do. I came in, I went up and prayed for him, and when I was praying for him, it looked like he was getting worse. And I said, oh, Lord. Oh, God, I felt like I said, when I go in the room, instead of life coming in, it seemed like death is coming in. So I went downstairs, there were a whole lot of people there, and I said, okay. They were just milling around. I said, well, let's just go down to the chapel and pray. So we went down to the chapel in the hospital, and I just had every elder in there, just pray for him. We were desperate. Just pray whatever prayer you can pray.
Yes.
Whatever prayer you can pray. Yes. I mean, we were desperate. And we only had 30 minutes because somebody else needed to use the chapel. And they were standing outside for us to come out. But just as we were finishing, his wife came to us and says, well, the doctor says he's gonna pull through. That
yes.
was utter desperation.
Yes, yes, yes.
And utter helplessness.
Yes.
If only we could always feel that way every
yes.
time we
yes.
every time we pray. We need that great need
yes.
for the Lord to come in.
Yes. Yes.
And so Israel at this time of all, when Jesus is here, Israel, as we see ourselves and not as great, but see ourselves as needy. Help me, Lord, David prayed in one place,
yes.
because I am poor and needy.
Yes, that's what he said.
Poor and needy. And Jesus comes in, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. They're supposed to know who he is when he walks in.
Yes.
Why is this? Because Isaiah says when he comes, he's going to identify himself and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes.
Trust me.
Yes.
Nobody else in Israel is going to say that
yes.
at this time.
No.
They aren't.
No.
Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me. He didn't send Bishop Smith. He didn't send Bishop anybody. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
Yes.
And if I'm going to come and help you be healed, I need to bring the one that was sent. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He has sent him to heal the brokenhearted. So, well, this is Jesus in the person at this particular time. Yes, but in the Spirit and by what he has done, we still must always bring people Christ.
Yes.
Not Paul, not Timothy, not Peter, not James, not John, but the one they talk about.
Yes. Yes.
The one they talk about. One of my biggest angst, I'll use that word, anxiety, is what that bothers me most, is to hear people get to say, ladies, thanks to God, I heard, you know, I was doing something, and I got this gospel. And since I got this gospel, let me tell you, this gospel has delivered me, and I keep saying to myself, well, tell us what the gospel
is yes.
so I can do it too.
Yes.
And don't just keep saying to me, since I got this gospel,
I came in here and I heard and Bishop so-and-so and all stuff preached to me this gospel. Well, preach that gospel to me so I can be delivered.
What is the gospel?
Don't keep telling me, well, until I found it. Well, what did you find? So when Jesus comes in, this is what I found. When Jesus comes in, if you're desperate tonight, Jesus lets you know that he has the Spirit of God to heal the
brokenhearted.
Yes. To preach the gospel to the poor, send me to heal the brokenhearted, poor in spirit, those who are going through, those who are afflicted, those who are down. If you're going to comfort anyone, let them know that Jesus knows what you're going through.
Yes.
And he will lift you up and you will be all right. Let him come in. I might not have the right words for you, and my words might not settle you, because if you're going through enough, you don't want to hear my words. You need a move of the Spirit.
Yes.
You need someone to come in and touch you. One of the reasons why we have a hard time, why people have a hard time being delivered now, is they take their knowledge of God for the power of God. And you do need the knowledge of God. But you need to, but that knowledge has to have life. What we give you in God has to have life. You need to ask the Lord to come in. Everybody say, come in, Lord.
Come in, Lord.
Come in.
Come in, Lord.
You need the Holy Spirit to come in. Say, come in.
Come in.
Tell him, I want to feel your presence.
I want to feel your
presence. I need you.
I need you.
Tell him, say, Lord, I really want to feel your presence.
Lord, I really want to.
I want to know you're here.
Amen.
We preach a gospel of power and of life. So when Jesus comes in, they have been reading these scriptures for the last 800 years. How long ago Isaiah wrote them? And when Jesus comes in, he says, they've been reading it. Isaiah writes, the prophet, they're going to come and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and all this. When Jesus comes in, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. I haven't come to build up Promise Church. I came to tell the poor in spirit, you will be all right. The Lord knows you. He hears your prayer. He can bring you out. He has that power. He that created all things, if he can create all things, he has the power to deliver you. If he upholds all things by his power, surely he can work out your situation. Is it your situation part of his universe?
Yes.
By him all things consist.
Yes.
Why are you poor in the spirit? The deliverer is coming. Blessed are they that are poor in the spirit. That's what he says. You're going to be blessed. Going to lift you up. Going to bring you out. Well, it's just great words, And then we try to get people, if we're not careful, we try to make people responsible for their own deliverance.
Yes.
And that way, if what we're saying doesn't work, the people walk away blaming themselves.
Yes.
You have what you say you have. I know what the Word of God says. But you have to take it with the Holy Ghost. It's like the scripture men and Sean will talk about all the time, the people use when they say the power, the Bible says the power of life and death, the power of life and death is in the tongue. It says that. But it doesn't mean that you can create life because you can't. Or kill something off. It means you can build things up or tear them down. You can make things right, or you can be part of making things right, or you can be part of making things wrong. You can preach so that life is given, or you can be the sort of person that causes things to fall apart and death to come. You can cause people to believe in God, or you can cause people not to believe in God. You can speak a word, the Word of God, so that people are saved, so that they're filled, so that life comes, so they're encouraged, so they're comforted, so they're built up. Or you can have corrupt communication that tears people down, destroys them, destroys their faith, does all these things. That's what he's pointing to.
Yes, amen.
That's what he's saying. By how you preach and what you preach and what you say. And it doesn't mean that I have to be cursing you. You're going to hell. No, it doesn't mean that. I can. It's just by the way I preach and the way I teach, I can either give life or not.
Yes, that's right.
If I get on a rebuking trip and just rebuke people upside down, and I decide, well, that works for me. Open rebuke is better than secret love, and now I've got more open rebuke than not only secret love, any love at all. After a while, I'm killing everybody. So when Jesus comes, he says, I have come to give life, and that more abundantly. The power, he says, I've come to, it's nice that he does it. Has anybody noticed, I got all the elders on, have you noticed that this is his introduction? And then when he says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, is this not what he's doing in John 8 chapter yes. when he tells the Jewish believers whom the Son sets free is free indeed? Mm-hmm. And there's some people saying, "Well, we're not. You know, I don't need you to bless me. I'm doing all right. I don't need you to set me free. Ain't nothing wrong with me."
Yes.
And all the hell captives have said, "This is what he's saying."
Yes.
And they're busy saying, "No. We don't need that. We don't need that." Came to set the captives free, delivers to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The recovering of sight. Can't you see that you need the Lord?
Yes.
Can't you see the power of God in everything that we do? He has to say to the Jews later on, when he heals the blind man physically, and they say, who is he that can give sight to the blind? He says, I have come to give sight to the blind and to all those who can't see. But since you say you see already, your blindness remains. I'm here to tell you, it's like when we're witnessing to someone. Remember I said tonight we need to think of someone who really needs to be delivered in the situation we're in. And they don't have to be broke down and sick or whatever. But you can say, now, my God, they are really great people. How great they would be if they would really allow the Lord to come in.
Yeah.
Who in here, everybody in here, raise your hand if it doesn't bother you in any way for the people that you know go to hell. It doesn't bother you at all. You don't worry about it. Don't care. You have relatives, you have friends, you have neighbors, you have whatever, and you might not be able to witness to them. Some people, even in Jesus' time, some people just will not put themselves in a position where you can witness to them. And I have,
right.
I once worked on a job in heaven, and the people there were so evil, the Spirit said to me, don't even waste your time. Don't even worry about it. They were so far from God, they would not even give an opening. They were like the Amorites and the Ammonites. God says, you know what, I'm never going to be able to come in and save these people in mass. Not going to happen. They're just as closed off. But don't you know, have you considered, don't you wish that they'd give you an opportunity to at least tell them about Jesus? Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you see the need for them to have eternal life?
Yes.
And when they're delivered, and then there are the people who like to weigh heavy on the people who are in God, and they want to lay their burdens on you, and really, spiritually, you feel like saying, I'm not the burden bearer.
Right. Yes, that's right.
I don't even carry my own burdens. Come with me.
Yes.
Do like they did when they told Nathaniel. Come, see a man. Like the woman at the well. Come see someone who told me about my life and all my problems. She didn't say, give me your problems. I've learned about them now. I got the Holy Ghost. Give it. Tell me about it. She said, no, let me take you to the person that delivered me.
Yeah.
And we need to cut people short sometime and say to them, you know, I know what you're going through, but you ought to come to church with me. You know, and say, my God, can't you see you need more? Don't you see that you need more? We're afraid to do that, aren't we?
Yes.
That's good. I don't believe you are. An evangelist, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Come see someone, you know. We are afraid to tell them. you wouldn't be going through what you're going through if you had the Lord. And some things we go through is just because some people go through some things. Yes. That's the absolute truth. Yes. So Jesus tells them, he says to them, he tells them, lost my page. He says, the recovering of sight to the blind. To proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised or oppressed. You know how it is? Seems like you just beat down. You can't put your finger on it. But every day comes with something heavy. It's a challenge every day. And you smile through it. And you make your way through it. But oh, how you would like to go free. David wrote one time, he said, "Oh, that I had wings. I would fly away and be at rest." Now, you know who has said that so many times? Me. Oh, if I only had wings, I would fly away and be at rest. I used to sit in my out on the missile silo in South Dakota sometimes. I mean, in Missouri sometimes. And I was in sin at the time. I didn't know what was oppressing me. I wasn't saved. And I used to look out towards the woods. And I really didn't have any reason to be oppressed because my family was doing okay and I was all right. Me and Paula had been married very long, and Chandra wasn't there yet. She was still floating around in Paula's stomach somewhere. And I used to look at those trees sometime and just wonder, God, life is in front of me, and I don't know how I'm gonna make things. And I used to say, God, I'd just like to just get out of this office and just run towards those trees and just go hide in the forest or something. Oppressed. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, song says.
Yes.
And he says, to set at liberty them that are bruised or oppressed. You're just under, you just need to go free. You're a candidate for drugs.
Yes. Yes.
You're a candidate.
Yes.
For something.
Something.
If you don't let the Lord set you
free. That's right.
You are a candidate for something.
Yes.
You know why? Because you want to escape.
Yes.
And Paul lets us know very well, mm-hmm. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a
salvation?
Mm-hmm. Salvation is my deliverer. That's how I get out of hurting.
Yes.
To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, when he says to preach the acceptable, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he's saying, your time is when?
Now.
Yes. Now. Yes. In the day you hear my voice, the Holy Ghost says, harden not your heart. Don't resist the gospel. Yes. Your time is
tonight.
In all the hearing. Your time is tonight. Tell the Holy Ghost, come in now. Come in now. I need you now. I love the song. I need you now.
Yes.
I need you now. We need to wake up in the morning saying, Lord, I need you now.
Yes.
I need you now.
Yes.
And if you're not in desperate straits, you need to acknowledge, Lord, the only reason why I'm not is because of the grace of God. I need you now. And for all the people who are in any discomfort, and we'll go to that scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians. Or 2 Corinthians on one of them. He's the God of all comfort.
Yeah.
Ella Smith knows where it is. She'll tell you where it is. And if Ella Rogers don't find it first, because she used to find it. 2 Corinthians, she says, he's the God of all comfort. That might be Peter. I'm not sure. He is the God of all comfort. And we need to, first of all, know that to be true ourselves. Is that 1 Corinthians?
No,
2
Corinthians
1. 2 Corinthians 1. Okay, that's easy. Yeah, and 3, 4. Who comfort us in all our tribulation? Blessed be the God, even the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Yes. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Everybody in here, Timaeus, where are you? Are you finished? Come up here. You're finished. Everybody in here needs to know that we have the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our tribulation, all the things that we go through. Now, who comforts you in all the things that you go through? Who sees you through? Who makes things be all right? God does. God does. He's the God. He's the God who can see us through all of our trials and our tribulations. This is why when people are going through, people like for somebody to give them a word, man. You know, so-and-so prayed for me, and they told me everything I was going through. You know what? All of us, we can read email and know everything you're going through. Now, did they tell you how to come out?
Yeah, all right.
There you go. Did they give you the one who can deliver you? Don't just identify my problem. You want to know the difference between when the Spirit is talking to you and the devil is talking to you? The devil comes and reminds you of all your problems. The Holy Ghost comes and tells you how to solve them. The devil, he accentuates the problems that you have, and the Holy Ghost comes and gives you solutions. The problem is me, whether I will hear him or not. And he says, draw near, draw near, draw near, draw near. He says, blessed be the God, or blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And I'm going to talk on Sunday and finish up in John and go to Hebrews on the fact of, and I was talking about it tonight, that Paul makes this reference in John, the 8th chapter, when they make this point, Abraham is our father, and he makes the point to them, Abraham's not your father, not doing what you're doing. And because Abraham, genetically, lineage-wise, is their father, but his point is, the way you're behaving, you're not acting like someone whose father is Abraham. So when he makes this point, and he says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not only referring to him as being the Father because Jesus becomes the Son. He's making the point that everything Jesus gets and everything Jesus does comes from the Father.
Yes.
Remember now, what do we know about Jewish believers? What do we know about Jewish believers? They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, but they absolutely believe in God, Jehovah God the Father. That's what separates them from all the rest of the world. And they have no doubt of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yes.
And they know that heaven is real.
Yes.
So what is their problem? They have got so hooked up in the law that when Jesus comes, they would rather work their way in than submit and yield to Jesus. Some of us would rather do that too. We'd rather go through than ask the Lord to deliver us.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about pride. You can be so proud and so stubborn and so obstinate in yourself. You. My mother used to use the term, you'll cut off your nose and spite your face. The point being is you'll suffer rather than ask somebody to forgive you.
Yes, that's right.
So why don't you ask so-and-so to help you? I ain't asking them. Say, but you're going, yeah, but I ain't going to ask them. I'll just sit here and suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't asking them.
Right.
So why don't you ask the Lord, why don't you fall down and ask the Lord and say, Lord, please deliver me. Yeah, but if the Lord delivers me, I got this over here that I don't want to let go.
Yeah.
And I know if the Lord delivers me, first thing he's going to do is say, let that
go. Yeah.
And I ain't ready to let go
let
yet.
That go yet.
And God is saying, I will give you what you need, but you're going to have to let that go.
Yeah.
God is saying, I will deliver you. But I will deliver a changed person.
Yes.
You know, I won't bring you out. Jesus tells the woman who's caught in adultery, he says, I'm not going to condemn you, I'm forgiving you.
Yes.
Now I expect you to go in and not to continue to do what you're doing. And then it's up to her to allow herself to have a new life. He's the God of all comfort. This is what we're telling everybody in this desperate situation. Who comfort us in all our, in all. Everybody say all.
All.
What does all mean, Damascus? Some of it? Everything.
Everything.
Do you not know? Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Know ye not?
Know ye not. Yeah.
That God is able to solve everything.
Yes, he is.
God is able to solve not most things, not a lot of things, everything. Everybody say everything.
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 Everything. Everything. Everything. God can work out everything. All tribulation, not most of it. All of it, not 99.97% of it. All of it. Even the tribulation that you don't even realize you have. It's working out things that you aren't even aware of. He's moving things out of your way that you're not even cognizant of. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Any trouble. We can go and comfort people who are in any trouble. Well, how can we do it? By the comfort wherewith we are ourselves are comforted of God. We can't comfort them by saying, oh, you'll be all right. You know, I just got a feeling you'll be all right. No, that won't get it. We're able to comfort them by the same comfort that has comforted us. We can comfort them by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, I can tell you you're going to be all right because I have gone through some situations myself. And the Lord saw me through. Acts the 26th chapter. And I'm done. I told them I was going to come over to Spirit of Christ tonight, so I have to be one minute. Acts the 26th chapter. Oh, it must be Acts 28th chapter. That's right. Let's put the difference. Act 27.
Okay. What are we looking for?
Act the 27th chapter. Now you're going to have to go read yourself, but I'm going to make it short. The Apostle Paul has appealed unto Caesar. They're going to take him to Rome because Paul is born in a Roman province, and he's a Roman citizen. He's Jewish, but he's a Roman citizen. He has the right to be heard at Caesar's court. So when the Jewish believers want to kill him, he appeals to the Roman soldiers and says, hey, I'm Roman, don't let them kill me. I want to go to Caesar's court. So the Lord uses that so Paul can preach in Rome. When they get ready to go to Rome, Paul says to them, bad time of year to be traveling. We need to stay here a little while longer. But Paul's not a Navy person, and he's being held just like in the military now. If you're on a ship, sailors run the ship, but Marines carry out security. And Paul is on this ship with this garrison, with this company of soldiers, and the captain of the soldiers who's responsible for him, he turns to the captain of the ship and says, hey, is this a bad time to travel? The captain of the ship says, no, not a problem. Don't you see how clear the weather is? Smooth sailing all the way. And the soldier says, listen to the preacher, listen to the captain. Duh. And so they leave anyway. And as soon as they leave, bad weather sets in. You know how it is? Things will look like they're going to work out, so you go do them anyway. And as soon as you're on your way, you find out, I probably should have done something else. And it's too late to turn around. When you find yourself in a situation, I have a solution for you for Tekoa, Damascus, Timaeus, Zara, Aram. I have a solution for all of you when you find yourself in a bad situation and you're out there and it's too late to turn around. You need to hurry up and repent. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You might be too far down the road to turn around, but you're not too far down the road to say, Lord, I shouldn't have been here. I'm sorry. Please work this out.
Yes.
I need you to work this out.
Yes.
I'm in this now. I can't get out of it. I need you to work. I really need you to come in and fix this.
Yes.
Because it's not fixable by me.
Right. Yes.
And so they, once they set sail, they run into this storm called, y'all ready for this word? What's it called?
Euroclodon.
Not Mariah, but Euroclodon. That even has an ominous name. Of, ooh,
Euroclodon.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Sounds bad, huh? Bad name. Euroclodon. And they are, and so they're determined, we're going to weather the storm. You know how it is when you're going through and you determine you're going to weather the storm? So the first thing, yeah, going to roll with the punches. So the first thing they decide is, okay, well, we'll just lighten the ship. We'll get rid of all the cargo. No problem. And we'll make it. But that doesn't help. So then they decided, we'll throw out all my equipment. All the tackle, all the ropes, we'll throw out all that, lighten the ship. And we'll just float, and we'll hope for the day we'll be all right. And they're going through. And after a while, you know, about verse number 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps and undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksands. And we being exceedingly tossed, it says, and I'm in King James at the moment, we being exceedingly tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, got rid of all the equipment. Now when we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. And now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. In other words, we gave up. We cannot make it. Not going to happen. It gets that long before anybody's ready to hear from God. Now, there's some people, and you must not be one of them. Some people, when they tell them you've got 6 months to live, they won't get saved. That's stupid to me. I'm going to beat this cancer. No, they say, I'm going to beat this. Yeah, I'm going to beat it. You know what? You get that desperate, you need to call on Jesus. You ain't got nothing to lose. Everything else is failing. And, but after long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and this loss, this harm and this loss. But now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. He says, in other words, now I'm going to tell you comforting words. You will be
all right.
Why will you be all right? Because Paul said so? No. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you and all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. How are we going to run aground? He says, but we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because the God of all comfort has showed up
and
told me he's going to see us through. You need to trust God enough to say to somebody sometimes, the Lord is telling me you're going to be all right. Now, you can't just make this up now.
No.
You have to have prayed, and the Lord has to say to you, tell them they will be all right.
Yes.
Tell them they will be all right. After they do what I tell them to do.
Yes.
Paul tells them, he says, don't let the Navy people jump ship. We're going to need them. Then he says to settle yourself down. He says, the ship's going to be broke up. It's going to be, you're going to know that you didn't obey God. You're going to have some scars. You're going to know that you didn't obey God. You're going to suffer some loss. But you will be all right.
Yes.
Tells him, you can't keep everything. God's going to let you know.
Yeah.
You need some scars. You need to remember, you know why I have a burn on my leg right now, which always reminds me of how hot fire is.
Yeah.
I have a hole in my leg right here about a half inch, quarter inch deep that lets me know not to climb ladders and cut down limbs and trees. You need some scars in this life to remind you not to do some of the things that you've done before. So I don't know about that, Bishop. Listen, people. Even Jesus bore scars to let you know how he had to die on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you know when he was resurrected from the dead in his immortal body, he did not have to have the scars? Don't you know when he comes back, he still had those scars in his immortal body to show the disciples at that time that he was who he is? And when he comes back to the Jews, don't you know he's going to show them those scars again?
Yeah.
And say, these are those that I received at the home of my friends. So they'll know he's the one who died for them. He has to have those scars. Mm-hmm. That's how they recognize him. And you need your scars.
Yes.
So you remember how you got the scars and you don't want them anymore. You want to be as unscarred as possible.
Amen.
But he didn't promise you he's going to erase your scars now. He didn't promise you he's going to erase all your scars. Just like he told them, I'm not. You ain't going to keep this ship. The ship is done.
Yeah.
You had no business coming out here. But you will be all right.
Yes.
There are other ships. You'll sail again. There are other days. You'll be up again. You'll smile again. Sun will shine again. You'll be all right. If you will have the person who's the God of all comfort.
Yes.
If you'll have Jesus, you'll be all right again. You'll get another opportunity to shine again. Your night will turn to day, everybody's standing. You'll get another chance. If you'll have God, you'll get, you know, the sun will shine again. The song says, there's a brighter day. God will cause his face to shine. Don't let the devil tell you you're over and out. You're done for. It doesn't happen. Stop going with that. You're not done for. Everybody here say, I'm not done for. Pull up your pants. I'm not done for. I'll be all right. You need to make up your mind. I'm not done for. I'll be all right. And you know what you need to be able to do? Tell someone who's in desperate situations, you're not done for. You will be all right if you will have the God of all
comfort.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why Jesus came, to preach the gospel to the poor.
Yes.
Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody lift your hands. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we ask you to heal all those that are sick and going through any affliction tonight. Lord, for all those who are in desperate straits tonight, come in, Lord Jesus. Move mighty, Lord, by your exceeding great power, O God. Set at liberty them that are bruised, O Lord. Come in, Lord. Come in, O Lord. Come in. Lord, come in. Lord, not by our power, not by our might, but by your Spirit. And move on their behalf. Lord, those that I'm talking to tonight, everybody who's oppressed, those who are bruised, Lord, have them. Lord, lift them up, O God. Lord, lift them up, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, lift them up. Lord, see them through tonight, O Lord. Move by your Spirit. Lord, quicken our spirits. Come in, O Lord. Come in. Come in. Come in the name of Jesus. Move in the name of Jesus. Lord, stretch forth thy hand to heal tonight and move by miracles and by signs and by wonders. Lord, break every yoke. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, drive out every evil and unclean spirit. Say to the Lord, rebuke you. Depart in the name of Jesus. Lord, let thy peace come in, Lord, and wash us. Cleanse us tonight, O God. In the name of Jesus, come in, O Lord, come in. Lord, in the name of Jesus, come in, O God. Move among us, O Lord. Lord, set us free. In the name of Jesus, cause our joy to be full tonight. Lord, break the yokes. Lord, break the yoke. In Jesus' name, break the shackles, O God. Lord, set us free. In the name of Jesus, cause the oppressions to lift up tonight. Lord, let our joy be full. Lord, in the name of Jesus, cause us to know we'll be all right. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Break every yoke. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I want to encourage everybody tonight. There's only so much you can do for yourself. You can get rid of this. You can say, well, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. Now you can do all those things. Until you have Jesus come in, you're not going to be all right.
All right.
You can do whatever you want to do in and of yourself. But until you allow the Lord to come in, there will always be something else. There'll be a weight. Until the Lord comes in and sets you free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There will always be a weight there until you surrender to the Lord and allow the Lord to break the yokes in your life. There will always be something. Praise the Lord. Let Lord set you free tonight. Say, Lord, set me free.
Lord, set me free.
In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand. God bless everybody tonight. It's good to see Indians up now. Praise the Lord.